Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome in to Surprise Stadium in Surprise, Arizona, site of Royal Spring Training 2024. I'm Josh Vernier, 610's Royals insider, wrapping it up for the season here in the Valley of the Sun. Big show lined up for you tonight as we're with you until 9 o'clock. But a quick reminder, if you've missed any of the hot stove shows or any of my interviews so far this spring or this winter, you can find them all on the Odyssey app. Just seek the All Things Vern podcast. It's on the Odyssey app. It's wherever you find your podcast. Again, the All Things Vern podcast. Because tonight, yes, there's a big show, but I couldn't get all 26 guys and every coach to stop by. But over the course of the past 4 months, I've spoken and sat down with just about everyone, from MJ Melendez to the manager Matt Quatrero, general manager JJ Piccolo, Michael Massey and Hunter Renfro all stopped by back during the Royals rally. You'll find that on the All Things Vern feed. Michael Wacha has appeared on my Hot Stove show, as has Brady Singer and Alec Marsh and Drew Waters and the hitting coach Alex Zumwalt, the bullpen coach Mitch Stetter. Again, find it all on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts. Just search All Things Vern. Coming up tonight, Bobby Witt Jr., Kyle Isbell, James MacArthur, Adam Frazier, Salvador Perez, and Cole Ragans, who earlier this week was named the opening day starter. And just following along with how they've lined things up after Cole, it appears it's going to be Seth Lugo and Brady Singer, maybe a Michael Wacha debuting in a Royals uniform in Game 1 in Baltimore. And as you heard earlier today, Alec Marsh has won the fifth spot in this Royals rotation, just like I told you back on Monday on Fesco in the Morning and like I told you yesterday on Cody and Gold. And my reasoning for believing that it was going to be Alec Marsh in the end is because look at the trend. Look at how this organization has handled itself since completing that miserable 2023. 106 losses in a campaign they called an evaluation season. Well, it wasn't difficult to evaluate when you go 56 up and 106 down. It's time for wholesale changes. And my demand, I think our demand as Royals fans at the end of the year, was abide by the results. Act accordingly. You're evaluating and you lose 106 games? You better get aggressive. You better be proactive this offseason, throughout spring training, and heading in to the 2024 season. And I think that word aggressive is a perfect description of J.J. Piccolo and the rest of that front office and this coaching staff, what they've done since that 106 loss season concluded. We'll get to Alec Marsh in a moment, but we could begin with free agency. Had the Royals presented Seth Lugo a revamped bullpen and a bat for the middle of the lineup in Hunter Renfroe, I'm not saying we would have thrown a parade for the organization, but I think a lot of Royals fans would have said, okay, that's a quality offseason. You've spent money. You've brought in names. Lugo, Schreiber, Will Smith, Chris Stratton, Nick Anderson. But to go out and show that aggressiveness, to get the cherry on top that is Michael Wacha. You know, the Royals organization normally doesn't put the cherry on top. They normally don't go the extra mile. Honestly, the last time I thought that they were this type of aggressive was when they traded for Ben Zobrist. Well, Johnny Cueto, that would have been good. We would have just celebrated that. But once you went out and brought in Ben Zobrist, well, now the expectations went up. Then it became World Series or bust. Had you just brought in Lugo, Renfroe, and a revamped bullpen, I think the expectations would be, well, you're going to be better. No doubt, you'll be better, maybe have an outside chance at 500, but that's about it. To go and put that cherry on top, to bring in Michael Wacha, that's what allows this clubhouse and this fan base to not only talk about a 500 record, but to talk about competing for the division, competing for the postseason. Bobby Witt Jr., that contract extension, did you really think that Bobby Witt Jr. was going to give his age 20 seasons, his 20s, to the Kansas City Royals? Now, you thought it was going to go the same way that it did for Haas, the same way that it did for Carlos Beltran, the same way that it did for a lot of your favorite players over the last 20 years. But no, aggressive. The cherry on top being 11 years. Guaranteed 7, hopefully 11, maybe 13. Cole Reagans, I just mentioned, Cole Reagans as the opening day starter. That is an aggressive, it's a right move, but it's an aggressive move. The Royals that you and I have gotten to know over the past decade often go the safe route. Let's hand the ball to the veteran. Let's give it to Michael Wacha. Let's give it to Seth Lugo. Let's take the safe route. Let's not spend that extra $13 million to bring in Michael Wacha. Let's not spend that extra $100 million to bring Bobby Witt Jr. and cement him as one of the next legends of Kansas City. Let's be safe and save Cole Reagans. Take him away from that pomp and circumstance of opening day. And that brings you to Alec Marsh. Nothing scared. You're not sensing any trepidation from the organization, any attempt to take the safe route. No, what Alec Marsh showed this organization last September, this offseason, and throughout spring training, he won the job. And yet, you were surprised. Even when I told you on Monday and Wednesday that it was going to be Alec Marsh, you were still surprised, understandably so, because when a guy in this market, in that uniform, is making that amount of money, he's normally given a job, because Kansas City doesn't spend money, doesn't throw money down the drain. And by having Jordan Lyles be what amounts to the 13th arm on your pitching staff, that's what it is. You're relegating him to mop up duty, eating that money for the betterment of the team. So thus far, in 6 weeks of spring training and really since the conclusion of last season, the word I keep coming back to is aggressiveness. So now it's on the players, right? The front office did its job. The coaching staff did its job, right? Front office went out and identified talent, identified the aspects of that 106 loss team that needed to hit the bricks. And the coaching staff didn't let money, tenure, anything other than pure, unadulterated stuff and talent dictate who's playing, who's starting, who's getting the ball opening day, who's in the rotation, and who's in the bullpen. So now it's on the players. And you'll hear that over the course of these 3 hours. It's on the pitchers to execute, the hitters to deliver. And that's why my theme for 2024, the defense. That's what this front office, this ownership group, and this coaching staff has put the players in. Right out of the gate, we've talked about the arduous task that lays in front of these boys with that first month, month and a half, a brutal schedule right out of the gate. They've given you all the equipment. They've given you the know-how. You've swam before. You've dipped your toe in the deep end before. But now every excuse, every explanation as to why you couldn't stay afloat in years previous have been eradicated. Now it's on the players to simply, in those first month, month and a half, those first 6 weeks of the season, it's on the players to keep your head above water, to fight, avoid drowning, validate your confidence that you are spewing throughout spring training. And right out of the gate, guys, I told you, my biggest takeaway from this camp has been the clarity of the goal. Now, it's not just Salvi and Waka and Will Smith saying, hey, we want to win because we've won before. No, it's guys that have never sniffed winning. It's Kyle Isbell and Bobby Witt Jr. and Vinny Pasquantino and Cole Reagans. And I can sniff out a fraud. I can see it in your eyes if you really believe that this team has what it takes to win. They do. Now it's on them to go out there, validate that confidence, win in multiple ways. Persist in the choppy waters of the deep end in multiple ways. Breaststroke, tread water, lay on your back, hit them with the backstroke, doggy paddle if you have to, hit them with the butterfly, whatever. It's been a lot of talk out here in spring training, right? I've been doing a lot of the talking myself. Now, we sit 1 week away from opening day, and it's time now for these boys to go out there and prove it. They have the talent. For the first time in nearly a decade, they have the pitching. My big question, as you know, has been surrounding this lineup, surrounding this offense. Guys like Michael Massey and MJ Melendez and Bobby Witt Jr. and Vinny Pasquantino. Guys that, similar to that 2012-2013 team, they think they're good. They may even know that they have the goods, and they believe that their teammates is good, and shoot, we might be good, but it's still a might. There's still that voice in their head. There's still that hint of doubt that needs to be eradicated over the first 6 weeks. If that doubt is not pushed aside, well, then they're going to drown, and we're going to be staring at another up-and-down roller coaster-type season that likely does not end with October glory. But if they're able to persevere, if they're able to kick, if they're able to fight, if they're able to silence that doubt, well then, buckle up. It's going to be a fun summer, and it just might be a very entertaining August and September. Again, still coming up, Salvador Perez, Bobby Witt Jr., James MacArthur, Cole Reagans, Kyle Isbell, and James MacArthur. When we get back, we start in the outfield. We'll talk with the Royals opening day center fielder. Believe it or not, this is his fourth opening day already. Kyle Isbell joins Fern's Hot Stove after this.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey.
Only at True North Stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back, Burns Hot Stove, live from Surprise, Arizona, 1 week away from opening day at Kauffman Stadium. And after that evaluation season of 2023, those who could and those who could not handle the rigors of a big league season were exposed over that 162-game grind of a campaign that ended with, of course, 106 losses. So, a revamped team, those who prove that we deserve another chance, we can endure those 6 months of baseball, 6 months of grinding, 6 months of working, have been brought back and now, as I've said, thrown into the deep end. Can you survive those first 6 weeks? Can you stay afloat and get this city fired up like it hasn't been in darn near a decade? Well, one of those guys that is back for, as I mentioned, a fourth straight opening day, the now 27-year-old center fielder who caught my eye, was maybe next to Cole Reagans, the guy that caught my eye first out here in camp. Body-wise, swing-wise, he's always impressive defensively, but offensively and speed-wise, looks better than ever. Had a chance to talk with Kyle Isbell, and I asked him, what does opening day mean to you?
Yeah, it's super special, obviously. It's a blessing from God. Each opportunity you get to have an opening day, this will be my fourth, and just excited and nervous as all of them. So, no, we're super, super excited for the group we have. It's going to be a lot of fun, and can't wait to get out there.
Yeah, you, like Bobby, like a guy that you got an autograph from as a youngster in Alex Gordon, made your big league debut on opening day. What memories come flooding back when you think about that day?
I mean, honestly, it was like a blur. I wish I tell a lot of guys when they make their debut, try to soak in as much, because that's what I was told. And for me, it kind of blacked out a little bit. And I was in the box my first at bat, and I was 0-2, and I looked up the scoreboard, and I said, here we go, we're here.
It's a pretty good blackout then if you end the day with three knocks.
Yeah, for sure.
Blackout all the time if you can. That's terrific.
Yeah.
So this is your fifth spring in big league camp. Does it feel like all the rest? Is there a different vibe, different feeling amongst the guys?
I think this is probably the best it's been in here, in my opinion. When I went to the Royals rally and we just kind of hung out there, there was so many new faces that guys I've never played with just kind of heard about. And leaving there, it felt like I've played with them for 5 or 6 years. And to me, that's pretty special, because when you take the field and you feel like you got a family around you and you know everybody, you're comfortable with everybody, that's a little different than kind of walking in with a bunch of new faces and everyone's kind of trying to get to know each other. And that's what it was at first, but like right off the bat, I mean, we all clicked, and it's been amazing. Pitchers, position players, Renfro's amazing out there, and just all the new guys we got, they've just been special.
Yeah, what's that relationship? How important is that relationship, center fielder, right fielder?
Oh, it's super important. I mean, we communicate. I mean, I talk to him, try to talk to him every day. We're talking a bunch in the outfield every day. Communication is the key to this game, especially in the outfield. Getting to know him, be around him, he's a special human being.
Everyone that I talk with, I've spoken with on this show, they're echoing what you're saying as far as invest in your teammate. For those 2.5 hours, just be one. Where did all that start?
I don't know. For me personally, just growing up, I was super close with my family, and every team I really played with felt like it was family to me. Like, I'd do anything for any of those guys in there.
Does it feel as if some of the younger group finding their footing in the big leagues now feel as if, all right, I do belong. I'm answering questions.
Yeah, I think it for sure, like, when you first get called up, you're kind of like searching, like, all right, do I belong here? I made it here. And then you just kind of step into the phase where it's like, I'm here, I want to win. Like, yeah. I don't care how, I don't care what happens, like, I just want to win. And to me, like, that's the energy in our clubhouse this spring. It's like, it's not about this guy does this, this guy does this. It's how are we going to win today? And to me, like, that's what a team is. That's what a family is. You come to the field every day, and there's going to be a different way we beat you every single day. And it's not if we're going to win, like, or we're going to beat you. It's just a matter of how.
Kyle Isbell joining us here on 610 Sports Radio. I brought this up to Brady about, you know, Whit Merrifield's a winning ball player, Nicky Lopez, Hunter Dozier, Brad Keller. But I mean, I saw it from afar. The losing can beat you down. It's tough to get hit in the head and show up the next day, which is what's so amazing about Salvi over the years. How have you fought giving into that negative mindset?
Yeah, it's really a bad place to be in. I've been so used to coming to the field, whether it's high school, college, pro ball, like, we're going to win. I just don't know how, right. But it's going to happen. And when you kind of falter the other way, you get in those long stretches of you come to the field and it's like, all right, this is happening, and you just get caught up in the stuff that's going wrong.
Yeah.
And Salvi's the best I ever seen. I mean, he's incredible as far as just he can go 0-for-4 one day and look miserable, and the next day he's the happiest guy ever. And it's when you see a guy like that in the clubhouse and you start to pick up the things, I mean, he's super successful. So you can see how he goes about his business and just watch what he does. I mean, that's, you got to buy into what he does. It works. He's won. He's done. He's an all-star. He's done everything you need to do in this game to be great. And to me, that starts in the clubhouse, how he acts as a person. And that's something that I thank him for.
What's it meant to have that type of example, that type of leader?
I mean, he's not like a super vocal leader, but he will jump you if you need to, mm-hmm. which is great. But the way he goes about his business is his leadership. He's here before everybody every single day. I can't beat him to the field. He's here after I leave, who knows how long. He closes the place down. You see that stuff, and you pick up on it, and it's like, all right, like, he's doing this, how can I put that into my work? Or he's doing this, how can this help me? And just, yeah. You pick up different things from people you've been around that are really good, and you roll with it.
Something that I've been telling the fans since I got here is, and you've already alluded to it, but it's been a long time since I've been around this clubhouse where the goal has been spoken with such clarity from everyone. Like you said, it's not, hey, I think we might, I hope we might. It's no, we're going to compete. We're going to win. Does it feel like the first time of your big league career where that is the expectation? I know Salvi's always been there, so he's not, yeah, letting anybody slip, but You guys are expecting to win. Does it feel like the first time where that is the expectation?
Yeah, I would say so. This year, like I said, it just feels different. Like the guys we brought in, the mindset from the guys up top, but it's our accountability to believe that. I mean, people can say this and that, but we got to do it. And that's the mindset that comes in our clubhouse as individual players working together and do what we can every single night and play hard and go out there and win.
If you could point to one aspect of you as a person, you as a ball player, how is the 27-year-old sitting in front of me different than the, I think it was a 24-year-old, the first one, that first Kyle Isbell that appeared on this show?
Yeah, it's just learning how to fail, really. You get so caught up in every day in baseball, and like as a position player, as hitting, you're going to fail. You're going to go through ups and downs. That's part of it. But being able to, when I was younger, I feel like I would kind of take my offense over to the defense or offense over to base running. And now it's every pitch for me. One pitch is gone, it's gone. It happened, it's done. Whatever happened, you move on with that. And that's just kind of my mindset now moving forward. Like, I'm playing pitch by pitch, and I'm going to try to beat you every single pitch.
Well, watching throughout this spring, my opinion and some other coaches, front office personnel that I've spoken with, you look as good as I've ever seen you. Does it feel as good as it looks?
Yeah. I mean, it feels great. I just feel like I got my edge back and everything, and it's just, I don't know, I feel like I got a chip on my shoulder. I'm ready to win.
Yeah. What's the edge?
I mean, I've had it my whole life, but I just feel like I've found myself, and I'm ready to go.
So is a Gold Glove on the radar? Is that something that you think about? Is that a goal?
I mean, yeah, that'd be great. But most importantly, like, I just, like, again, I want to win. Sure. That's the main goal. But with winning comes a lot of personal, I guess, accolades, you could say. But I could really care less about a Gold Glove. Obviously, I'm going to play as hard as I can every single night, and I hate giving up runs, especially for our pitchers, and I want to be the best I can out there. I want to catch everything for them. That's my goal.
You've had some greats that you've been able to shag with, work with, from Michael A. Taylor to Alex Gordon. What pieces of their game are still with you today?
It's just relentless work, relentless reps, relentless preparation. It's just being present every single pitch, expecting the ball. I know Gordo, just every single pitch, he expected the ball to be him. And when I was younger, I was like, all right, maybe this guy's going to hit this ball to me. It's like, no, it's like, that's when you get caught on your heels. It's every single pitch, the ball is coming to me, and I don't care where it's at, I'm going to catch it. I'll be there.
Kyle Isbell's our guest here on 610 Sports Radio. I mentioned 27 now. And you talk about the edge. I'm wondering, because your son's about to celebrate his first birthday in a few weeks, I believe. How much has that changed you as, well, I know it's changed you as a person. Does that carry over into the clubhouse? Does that make you a better ball player?
Yeah, it's just being a dad's really changed your perspective a lot. I got to be an example. I got to be a leader. I got to be best energy, best mood I can be in, because he's picking up on every little thing I'm doing. And when I step away and look at that, when I walk into the clubhouse, people look around and see what you're doing. They see the energy you have. They see the leadership that you're presenting to them. So when you take that from home and you carry that onto the field, it's like I pick up things off Salvi. What if people pick up things off me? People pick up things off Bobby. People, yeah. Like, it's just, it's relentless. It's, when people have positive energy, it's powerful.
How much fun was it this off season to be a dad, to be able to zero in on the kid?
I mean, it was incredible. I got to wake up to him every single day. I got to watch him start to crawl. I got to watch his personality kind of grow, different characteristics starting to shoot out of him. And it was, I know, it's amazing. I feel like every single day something changes about him, and it's a blessing.
Where do you see yourself in him as far as those characteristics?
Well, probably his attitude.
Yeah?
Yeah. No, he's really good. Starting to make some funny faces, dance a little bit. And no, he's awesome.
We talking about Bobby earlier, and what impresses you most about Bobby? I think the talent speaks for itself, but let the listeners know what kind of guy he is inside this clubhouse.
I mean, he's best team I ever played with. It's not even really close. I mean, you would never know the kind of player he is by the way he acts. Don't get me wrong, he's confident, obviously. No, he's Bobby. But just the way he acts, the way he goes about his business, his manners, super respectful. He's always willing to help other people out, and that speaks for itself. I mean, he's one of the best guys I've ever been around. He's like a brother to me, a friend. I'll do anything for him, and he's amazing.
Moving over to the pitching side and some of the guys that have impressed this camp, Q announced earlier that Alec Marsh is in the rotation. He'll grab that five spot.
Yeah, he's as good as anyone as we got on our team. He's a real deal. His stuff's really good. His mindset's incredible. He's always on the attack. And he's my locker mate in there in spring. But, no, he's another guy that's just family to me. He's amazing to be around. Show up to the locker. He's in good mood every single day, ready to get to work. I don't know if I've ever seen him with his shirt not soaking wet in sweat. No, he's always getting after it. But, no, he's really going to help us out. He's really good.
It's amazing what, and this sounds so obvious, but what confidence can do in this game. Mm-hmm. How big was this offseason for your confidence? I was talking with one of the coaches, and they said, what we asked Kyle to do this offseason, I've never seen someone check every box as boldly as he has. Did you tap into anything specific this offseason? Did you find a new level of confidence coming into spring?
I mean, yeah, I would say I tapped into everything, but it's one, finding yourself, and I go back to believing, but it's in believing who you are as a person and being the best version of yourself every single day. That's all that I can ask of anybody, and I would sure they say the same, but if I'm the best version of myself every single day, then I'm in a good spot. And that's where I try to be mentally, physically, and when I'm in that spot, I'm able to help the team win. When you're not confident, when you're playing scared, on your heels, that's when you're making mistakes, you're feeling bad for yourself, and that's not what it's about. It's about the team. I feel like I've dug pretty deep into my preparation this year, whether it's mentally, physically, swinging, hitting, whatever. To me, when I'm prepared, I can't lose.
Right. Well, throughout your professional career, you've dealt with success, you've dealt with injury, and as we sit a week away from opening day, Cole Reagan's going to take the hill. What comes to mind when you think about Cole and his journey to be in the opening day starter?
Yeah, it's incredible, incredible journey, but it's another guy that's relentless with his work. If the guy's got injured 10 times, I wouldn't say he wouldn't be in the spot. That's just what kind of person he is. He gets after it every single day. But watching him pitch, I didn't really know of him before he got here. And the day he showed up, I was like, oh, man, this is going to be good. So, I mean, seeing him out there opening night, I know he's going to have a blast, have a good time. And I'm super pumped to watch him.
So you knew it right out of the gate? Watching him in the pen or from center field?
No, from center field. Okay. His first outing, I can't remember who that was against. And I was just kind of looking up at the board like, wow, this dude's chucking it.
Yeah.
The dude can flat out pitch. Not just a guy that throws hard. He's got like five different pitches, and he can put them wherever he wants, and he's going to compete out there.
Have you seen someone dominate the way that he did last August? And I'm going, even if we're talking one of your high school or college boys.
I mean, I was borderline not even thinking about bringing my glove out there. I mean, when he's going, which he was, people aren't touching him. It's fun to watch.
What's it feel like to be one of the most, and I know you got veterans in there, but you're one of the most tenured Royals. Salvi and Singer, I think, are the only ones that have put that jersey on more than you have. What comes to mind? What kind of responsibility, if any, is that?
It's a blessing. Putting on a jersey every single day I'm going to do it until they take it off me. Yeah. But specifically, like being a part of this organization and the Royals, the fans that come out, everything that comes with it. The guys I get to be around, Sweeney, Reggie, Bo Jackson, some of the guys here right now, like some of the things I get to pick up from them. And you're not playing for yourself. You're playing for the history of the Royals. You're playing for everything that's came with this organization. And they've won. They've done it, and I'm ready to bring it back.
Any Bo Jackson lesson or advice or any story you can pass along?
No, I talked to him. I've met him, I think it was 2 years ago. And no, just kind of talking to him, super, super humble guy. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you just think of all the highlights and all the crazy thing he's done, but no, super down to earth and just kind of chit chat with him, getting to know him a little bit and trying to pick his brain of whatever it was hitting. I know he's working with us on like stolen bases today, but I mean, watching that dude play center field and then I get to go out and do that. And I just think of all the great things he's done. I mean, we've had so many great center fielders here and just watching them. And when I go out there again, I just try to be the best I can be.
Well, you go right in line with the rest of them. I'm wondering, are you now such a big leaguer to where, Bo Jackson? I mean, have you run into someone where, all right, let me call my boys real quick and let them know that me and Vincent Bo Jackson are just cutting it up in the outfield?
No, not really. No. I mean, I know I go back to saying a blessing, but it really is. There's this stuff in this game like you can't make up, you can't take for granted, and just the people that you meet coming through this game, and just whether it's people in the front office, whether it's former players, it's just the people that have been here in this organization, they're incredible. It's a family mindset. We're going to treat you like family, a great culture, and I think it's the best it's ever been this year.
Royal center fielder Kyle Isbell, kind enough to join us here on 610 Sports Radio. I can't wait to watch you this season. I appreciate you sitting down for this quick chat, man.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Royal center fielder Kyle Isbell. We'll talk with Royals reliever, and I gotta say, soon to be closer. That's no knock on Will Smith. James MacArthur's just straight up nasty. We'll talk with the general after this. Back live from the desert, Josh Vernier with you here. It's the final edition of Earn's Hot Stove. Next Thursday, we'll be live with the On Deck Show, post-game show, and hopefully a 1-0 record for the boys in blue. So you've known Kyle Isbell. You've heard him on this show basically each of the past four seasons. May not be as familiar with James MacArthur, the big right-hander who made his big league debut last season after being acquired by the Royals, claimed on waivers from the Phillies. Remember his big league debut? Not what anyone was hoping for. Single, homer, single, triple, walk, double, double. 7 runs in 1 inning in his big league debut, and then he's optioned back down to Omaha. And then he came back in September with a vengeance. James MacArthur, I think, is the nastiest reliever that this team has, at least among the 8 relievers. I don't think there's anybody better in that bullpen. Maybe there's certainly guys with more experience. Will Smith, Chris Stratton, Nick Anderson, John Schreiber. Sure. I don't think anyone's as nasty as the big 6'7 right-hander, James MacArthur. Now, he can go multiple innings, so I understand not giving him the closer's role, but by season's end, don't be shocked if he's the final boss for the boys in blue. But I wanted to start with James MacArthur. I wanted to start with that huge frame, big old 6'7", dude. I saw in his bio that he did play high school basketball. I was curious, how good were you?
I was okay. I definitely had the height for it. It was just a matter of everything coming together during the games, but my sophomore year, I broke my foot playing, and junior year, ended up quitting to kind of focus on baseball, mm-hmm. just because I was like, man, I don't really want to get hurt and miss baseball season again. So I had some decent games. I was a starter. We weren't great, but I loved basketball. Had a lot of fun.
Are you a fan of basketball, football, baseball? Do you follow it as a fan, or is it just a profession?
Baseball, I've through my professional career have started following it more. I think honestly, like 2-3 years ago was the first time I started watching like playoffs, where I was like, I want to watch every single game. And it was because I started to know people that were playing, had played against people that were playing, so like that was very interesting, but it really made me appreciate it more. And I think now going forward, probably the rest of my life, I'll always watch playoff baseball. Basketball, not so much, but I love college football.
So were you an Ole Miss guy as a kid? Or
no. Okay. I always wanted to go to Texas, or really A&M, either one. Mm-hmm. If I could go to a school there, that would have been my choices. But ended up being kind of a late bloomer, and a spot opened up at Ole Miss and took a visit there, loved it, went to a couple football games, and I was like, man, this place is awesome. So became an Ole Miss football fan now.
What were the posters on the wall? I shudder to say it, but I'm guessing you're too young for Ricky Williams. Is it more of a Vince Young when you're coming up? Is that
your
guy? Yeah,
Vince Young, and then I think Colt McCoy.
Sure.
But like in high school, not a huge college football guy. Mm. Like, you know, I knew about it. I'd watch it here and there. Wasn't really huge into it. And then actually my father-in-law played college football at USC. So once I met my wife in college and started to become part of the family and stuff, we would always watch college football on Saturdays.
So you got athletes on your side, on your wife's side, yep. Athletes everywhere.
Athletes everywhere. My father-in-law played football at SC, played in the NFL for a little bit, and my mother-in-law was like a track star in college, super athlete, and my wife played college volleyball. Her sisters played college sports, soccer. My little brother played college golf. My dad played professional baseball. I don't think my mom did anything. Sister didn't do anything. My brother played a little bit of baseball.
So what about your kid? How?
My one-year-old is like super into balls right now, throwing baseballs, throwing footballs, whatever's around on the floor. Like that's the word he says is ball, ball. So I got a lot of hope for him. We'll see if that kind of pans out. But my daughter is almost three, and she's super tall. Seems to be really competitive, kind of have that edge to her. So I hope that she gets into sports too.
Were you competitive growing up, or did that come as the stakes got higher?
Kind of came as the stakes got higher, but I always just loved sports. You know, I played soccer, basketball, baseball. My dad was always off on football because, so you're going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. So that's one of my regrets, is not at least trying it.
Your dad, obviously pretty good, made it to the minor leagues. How good was he? Or how good does he tell you he was?
He tells me he was like the best, obviously.
Yeah.
He taught me how to spin a breaking ball when I was a kid. Obviously, he played with some really good players, did well in junior college, was able to sign a professional contract and play for those 4 or 5 years. It's a bummer that there wasn't as much video back then to be able to watch. It would have been really cool to like actually see him play. Mm-hmm. But he's pretty much the reason that I'm here playing.
When did this feel real, where you're at right now? When did it first click that not only with the tutelage of Pops, but with my athleticism, I got a chance to make it?
I'd say probably my senior year of high school was about when I started taking it really serious. When I quit basketball, I focused more on it and then kind of saw some results from that were positive. Senior year is when I really started feeling like I got a shot to do this. I can go play in college somewhere, whether it's JUCO or a university. You know, but when I was a kid, like 9, 10, that my dad really like taught me the love of the game. Not that I only play because he played. I think he just taught me to love the game, and that's why I play. So he's been a huge factor in my career, and it's been nice to have a guy that's been there and done it before to be able to reference to after outings. You know, because it's a game of failure, so you're going to have your good days and bad days. And I think some fans don't quite understand exactly what it's like, but since he was able to be there and do that, it's pretty cool to have him in my corner.
So with that, as we're talking with James MacArthur, Royals reliever here on 610 Sports Radio, what was the most fun you had playing baseball? What time of your life comes to mind?
I think of two different times, and I guess really three probably, but college ball was so much fun. You know, you just meet some of your friends that have become lifelong friends. It was all about winning. It was all about being a team. And that was just really special to me. Those 3 years in college were a lot of fun. Every year, new guys, but same goal every single day for everyone. And we wanted to win. And then I had a professional season. The end of my first full season, I had an awesome time. Met some of my best friends. One of the guys is my daughter's godfather. Great dude. And being with that group of guys, I just had so much fun. It just felt like more college again, like we were playing for each other. It wasn't just professional baseball where it was get in and get your work done and hope that you do well and not worry about everybody else. It was like we're a team trying to win. So that was a good time in pro ball. And then obviously last year, end of the season, that was some of the funnest baseball. I thought the team was playing well. We were winning games. I had a good month, so that helped out. But
I'd say
that was a fun month for me too. Just one of those moments that you kind of feel like your whole journey's been worth it. It was special for me and my family.
Going back to those college days, what do you remember about the SEC matchups with Florida watching Brady Singer from the other side.
We did not like Brady Singer.
I don't think anyone in college baseball liked Brady Singer outside of his Florida teammates.
Exactly. We did not like Brady Singer, man. And when he towed the rubber, it was like, gosh, we're going to have to really pitch well to win this game. You know he's going to be out there for a long time. Jackson Coar was there. He was here last year with us. Mm-hmm. So many guys, and that's one of the funny things about when you get up here and you get into pro ball is you start seeing all these guys and you're like, man, I remember that last name. Oh, my gosh, he went to A&M. Or, oh, my gosh, he went to Georgia.
I mean, Waka's a A&M guy.
Yeah, I watched him growing up.
Yeah.
I feel bad saying that because it makes him sound old, but he's not. It was just that when he was going through college and he was like the dude, it's just cool now that you know, you get to be teammates with these guys and get to learn more about them.
So you drafted in 2018. 2020, everyone remembers the pandemic, did not go to the alternate site, but you got married, had a kid.
Mm-hmm.
How do you view that time where I'm not doing what I love, but I'm with the people that I love?
Right. It was super weird. We were in spring training, and then they had a big meeting with everyone, said, hey, there's something bigger going on in the world, and we don't know exactly what it's going to entail, but go home. You can leave your stuff. We'll probably be back here soon. Whatever. Headed home and didn't realize I'd be home for that entire summer. And the next time I came back was for Instructional League in October 2020. So left in February, came back in October. But like you said, I had just gotten married. It was me and my wife lived with my in-laws, her parents.
Mm-hmm.
We lived with them down in their basement. And when I left for the season, our plan was when I get back, we're going to get our own place so that we don't have to keep staying in their basement. And COVID happens, and I'm like, crap. Now we got to go back, and we're going to be in their basement again for, you know, however long we can until we have to get a house.
What was the best part and the worst part of posting up in the basement of your in-laws?
The best part was probably my mother-in-law would, like, pack me lunches and stuff, and
nice.
She'd always take care of me, so that was awesome. Worst part was maybe just, like, you know, it doesn't feel like you're home, and you have your own personal space.
Can't let that belch out.
Exactly. No doubt. It's not your fridge to put stuff in. Like, you just, there's little things like that. We're thankful that it worked out for us. We're able to get a house. We live 7 minutes down the road now.
Nice.
So we get to see them all
the time. I'm sure they love that, being around the grandkids.
Grandkids, they love it.
Yep.
And it's a great spot, good area.
James MacArthur joining us here on 610 Sports Radio. So you have really good strikeout numbers in 2021, but an injury ends your 2022. Phillies trade you over here in 2023. What, was your confidence ever shook? Did you have that moment where you start to listen to that little voice in your head?
Mm-hmm, no doubt. I think everybody battles that. Coming back from that injury, that was tough. And then going into spring training, not having played for a little while, the beginning of spring training last year, and then going into the season was a harder time for me, kind of questioning my career, where I was at, a lot of uncertainty. I knew that it was kind of that time where I'm either going to do this thing or I'm not. And I was fortunate enough to come to this organization and have a really good group of coaches and players in AAA. Kind of found a groove, started feeling like my old self again. Probably a huge credit to that is my wife and just being at home, keeping me grounded, staying in my faith. I think that's probably the biggest thing. And just believing that, you know, God had a plan.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 now and begin your language learning journey.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Springtime's the perfect time to turn the page and refresh your home style. The only problem? It can be expensive. Luckily, there's a better way to shop well-worthy pieces for less at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's negotiates with manufacturers to get you the best everyday low prices, giving the shopping power back to you. The power to get more style, comfort, and quality for less on amazing pieces like stylish mid-century dining sets made for hosting those big spring brunches, pop-up sleeper sectionals with all the bells and whistles so you can turn any room into a guest room, and next-level Bobopedic mattresses so you can get a great night's rest after you've finished redecorating every room. So, when you're ready to spring into new style, stop into your nearest store or shop online and see how you can get wow-worthy style for less with Bob's Discount Furniture.
Back live from the desert, Josh Vernier with you here. It's the final edition of Ernst's Hot Stove. Next Thursday, we'll be live with the On Deck Show, post-game show, and hopefully a 1-0 record for the boys in blue. So you've known Kyle Isbell. You've heard him on this show basically each of the past four seasons. May not be as familiar with James MacArthur, the big right-hander who made his big league debut last season after being acquired by the Royals, claimed on waivers from the Phillies. Remember his big league debut? Not what anyone was hoping for. Single, homer, single, triple, walk, double, double. Seven runs in one inning in his big league debut, and then he's optioned back down to Omaha. And then he came back in September with a vengeance. James MacArthur, I think, is the nastiest reliever that this team has, at least among the eight relievers. I don't think there's anybody better in that bullpen. Maybe there's certainly guys with more experience: Will Smith, Chris Stratton, Nick Anderson, John Schreiber. Sure, I don't think anyone's as nasty as the big 6'7" right-hander. James MacArthur, now he can go multiple innings, so I understand not giving him the closer's role, but by season's end, don't be shocked if he's the final boss for the boys in blue. But I wanted to start with James MacArthur. I wanted to start with that huge frame, big old 6'7", dude. I saw in his bio that he did play high school basketball. I was curious, how good were you?
I was okay. I definitely had the height for it. It was just a matter of everything coming together during the games, but my sophomore year, I broke my foot plan, and junior year ended up quitting to kind of focus on baseball, mm-hmm. just because I was like, man, I don't really want to get hurt and miss baseball season again. So I had some decent games. I was a starter. We weren't great, but I loved basketball. Had a lot of fun.
Are you a fan of basketball, football, baseball? Do you follow it as a fan, or is it just a profession?
Baseball, I've through my professional career have started following it more. I think honestly, like 2-3 years ago, was the first time I started watching, like, playoffs, where I was like, I want to watch every single game. And it was because I started to know people that were playing, had played against people that were playing. So, like, that was very interesting, but it really made me appreciate it more. And I think now, going forward, probably the rest of my life, I'll always watch playoff baseball. Basketball, not so much, but I love college football.
So were you an Ole Miss guy as a kid? Or
no.
Okay.
I always wanted to go to Texas, or really A&M, either one. Mm-hmm. If I could go to a school there, that would have been my choices. But ended up being kind of a late bloomer, and a spot opened up at Ole Miss, and took a visit there, loved it, went to a couple football games, and I was like, man, this place is awesome. So became an Ole Miss football fan now.
What were the posters on the wall? I shudder to say it, but I'm guessing you're too young for Ricky Williams. Is it more of a Vince Young when you're coming up? Is that
your
guy?
Yeah, Vince Young, and then I think Colt McCoy.
Sure.
But like in high school, not a huge college football guy. Mm. Like, you know, I knew about it. I'd watch it here and there. Wasn't really huge into it. And then actually my father-in-law played college football at USC. So once I met my wife in college and started to become part of the family and stuff, we would always watch college football on Saturdays.
So you got athletes on your side, on your wife's side, yep. Athletes everywhere.
Athletes everywhere. My father-in-law played football at SC, played in the NFL for a little bit, and my mother-in-law was like a track star in college, super athlete, and my wife played college volleyball. Her sisters played college sports, soccer. My little brother played college golf. My dad played professional baseball. I don't think my mom did anything. Sister didn't do anything. My brother played a little bit of baseball.
So what about your kid?
My one-year-old is like super into balls right now, throwing baseballs, throwing footballs, whatever's around on the floor. Like that's the word he says is ball, ball. So I got a lot of hope for him. We'll see if that kind of pans out. But my daughter is almost three, and she's super tall. Seems to be really competitive, kind of have that edge to her. So I hope that she gets into sports too.
Were you competitive growing up, or did that come as the stakes got higher?
Kind of came as the stakes got higher, but I always just loved sports. You know, I played soccer, basketball, baseball. My dad was always off on football because, so you're going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. So that's one of my regrets, is not at least trying it.
Your dad, obviously pretty good, made it to the minor leagues. How good was he? Or how good does he tell you he was?
He tells me he was like the best, obviously.
Yeah.
He taught me how to spin a breaking ball when I was a kid. Obviously, he played with some really good players, did well in junior college, was able to sign a professional contract and play for those 4 or 5 years. It's a bummer that there wasn't as much video back then to be able to watch. It would have been really cool to like actually see him play. Mm-hmm. But he's pretty much the reason that I'm here playing.
When did this feel real, where you're at right now? When did it first click that not only with the tutelage of Pops, but with my athleticism, I got a chance to make it?
I'd say probably my senior year of high school was about when I started taking it really serious. When I quit basketball, I focused more on it, and then kind of saw some results from that were positive. Senior year is when I really started feeling like I got a shot to do this. I can go play in college somewhere, whether it's JUCO or a university. You know, but when I was a kid, like 9, 10, that my dad really like taught me the love of the game. Not that I only play because he played. I think he just taught me to love the game, and that's why I play. So he's been a huge factor in my career, and it's been nice to have a guy that's been there and done it before to be able to reference to after outings. You know, because it's a game of failure, so you're going to have your good days and bad days. And I think some fans don't quite understand exactly what it's like, but since he was able to be there and do that, it's pretty cool to have him in my corner.
So with that, as we're talking with James MacArthur, Royals reliever here on 610 Sports Radio, what was the most fun you had playing baseball? What time of your life comes to mind?
I think of two different times, and I guess really three probably, but college ball was so much fun. You know, you just meet some of your friends that have become lifelong friends. It was all about winning. It was all about being a team. And that was just really special to me. Those 3 years in college were a lot of fun. Every year, new guys, but same goal every single day for everyone. And we wanted to win. And then I had a professional season. The end of my first full season, I had an awesome time. Met some of my best friends. One of the guys is my daughter's godfather. Great dude. And being with that group of guys, I just had so much fun. it just felt like more college again, like we were playing for each other. It wasn't just professional baseball where it was get in and get your work done and hope that you do well and not worry about everybody else. It was like we're a team trying to win. So that was a good time in pro ball. And then obviously last year, end of the season, that was some of the funnest baseball. I thought the team was playing well. We were winning games. I had a good month, so that helped out. But
I'd say
that was a fun month for me too. Just one of those moments that you kind of feel like your whole journey's been worth it. It was special for me and my family.
Going back to those college days, what do you remember about the SEC matchups with Florida watching Brady Singer from the other side?
We did not like Brady Singer.
Nope. I don't think anyone in college baseball liked Brady Singer outside of his Florida teammates.
Exactly. We did not like Brady Singer, man. And when he towed the rubber, it was like, gosh, we're going to have to really pitch well to win this game. You know he's going to be out there for a long time. Jackson Kowar was there. He was here last year with us. Mm-hmm. So many guys, and that's one of the funny things about when you get up here and you get into pro ball is you start seeing all these guys and you're like, man, I remember that last name. Oh my gosh, he went to A&M, or oh my gosh, he went to Georgia.
I mean, Waka's a A&M guy.
Yeah, I watched him growing up.
Yeah.
I feel bad saying that because it makes him sound old, but he's not. It was just that when he was going through college and he was like the dude, it's just cool now that you know, you get to be teammates with these guys and get to learn more about them.
So you drafted in 2018. 2020, everyone remembers the pandemic. Did not go to the alternate site, but you got married, had a kid.
Mm-hmm.
How do you view that time where I'm not doing what I love, but I'm with the people that I love?
Right. It was super weird. We were in spring training, and then they had a big meeting with everyone, said, hey, there's something bigger going on in the world, and we don't know exactly what it's going to entail, but go home. You can leave your stuff. We'll probably be back here soon. Whatever, headed home and didn't realize I'd be home for that entire summer. And the next time I came back was for Instructional League in October 2020. So left in February, came back in October. But like you said, I had just gotten married. It was me and my wife lived with my in-laws, her parents.
Mm-hmm.
We lived with them down in their basement. And when I left for the season, our plan was when I get back, we're going to get our own place so that we don't have to keep staying in their basement. And COVID happens and I'm like, crap, now we got to go back and we're going to be in their basement again for, you know, however long we can until we have to get a house.
What was the best part and the worst part of posting up in the basement of your in-laws?
The best part was probably my mother-in-law would like pack me lunches and stuff, and
nice.
She'd always take care of me, so that was awesome. Worst part was maybe just like, you know, you don't feel like you're home and you have your own personal space.
Can't let that belch out.
Exactly. No doubt. It's not your fridge to put stuff in. Like, you just, there's little things like that. We're thankful that it worked out for us. We're able to get a house. We live 7 minutes down the road now.
Nice.
So we get to see them all
the time. I'm sure they love that, being around the grandkids.
Grandkids, they love it.
Yeah.
And it's a great spot, good area.
James MacArthur joining us here on 610 Sports Radio. So you have really good strikeout numbers in 2021, but an injury ends your 2022. Phillies trade you over here in 2023. What, was your confidence ever shook? Did you have that moment where you start to listen to that little voice in your head?
Mm-hmm, no doubt. I think everybody battles that. Coming back from that injury, that was tough. And then going into spring training, not having played for a little while, the beginning of spring training last year, and then going into the season was a harder time for me, kind of questioning my career, where I was at, a lot of uncertainty. I knew that it was kind of that time where I'm either going to do this thing or I'm not. And I was fortunate enough to come to this organization and have a really good group of coaches and players in AAA. Kind of found a groove, started feeling like my old self again. Probably a huge credit to that is my wife and just being at home, keeping me grounded, staying in my faith. I think that's probably the biggest thing. And just believing that, you know, God had a plan for me and this is where he wants me to be today. And whatever comes of it is part of the plan, and to just try to enjoy it.
When you find yourself at that fork in the road of, hey, I'm either going to do this or not, when you decide I'm going to do it, you drop something into gear. What is that?
I think a lot of it's perspective, probably. You just decide that you're not going to look at the negative things that come from every day. You're not going to focus on the bad results, because there's always bad things that come with the game. It's a game of failure. Yeah. So I think just taking your focus away from that and not riding too high when things are going good, and just trying to be, for me, it's always like, I just want to be a good teammate. I want to show up here, be the same guy, whether I have a good outing or a bad outing. And I want to help the team win in some way. And usually that requires you to come in prepared, be ready to go, focus on your throwing program, continue to try to develop pitches. Even if things are going good, always trying to work on something. So the work ethic for me is, I don't think has ever been a problem. I think for me, it's always just been that mental battle of, like, you know, believing it and going out and chasing it and getting it.
Talk about having the love of the game at such a young age. So you enjoy the work.
I did.
Yeah.
I was the kid. I asked for a batting cage for Christmas. Nice. Asked for baseball bats for Christmas. Asked for, like, that was just in me, what I wanted to do. And I think my dad kind of pulled it out of me, but it was also, you know, I'd be out there hitting in the cage by myself for a few hours, and I'd be working on stuff. I'd drag my little brother outside and make him hit me ground balls or whatever it was. I just wanted to be better at the game and had a little bit of a drive for it. So it did start at a young age.
So 2023, just a year ago, big league debut doesn't go the way you want it. Option back to Omaha after. But why weren't you deterred? Mm-hmm. What'd you learn about yourself during all that?
I lean on my wife a lot. I think after the game, the debut was like, the results were obviously not what you would want. Mm-hmm. So leaving that game, that was also a moment of a lot of uncertainty, like, man. But there was a lot of pride, too. And in a weird sense, there was a lot of pride of, like, man, I did it. And I am a big leaguer. I did this thing. And it didn't go my way. But I got through the inning. And it was tough. They were hitting balls all over the yard. And it was like, I figured out a way, made it through this. And all I know to do now is to just keep going. Mm-hmm. And, you know, leaned on her. We were super proud of the accomplishment there, even though the results weren't great. And my kids being there, and just, you want to be a good role model for them, that no matter what happens day in, day out, you're going to have challenges. You're going to have good days and bad days, but better days are always ahead, and you just got to keep going, man.
I heard LeBron always point to his worst game and said, that's the best moment of my life, because ever since then, it's just all been up.
Yep.
Right? I learned so much from that. I'm going to call it the best moment of my life.
That resonates. Yep. Totally. Yeah. It's nothing I look back on and am like, kind of put your head down about. Right. I look back on it and I'm like, yep, that's what happened. And I had to, you know, I saw the scoreboard when I'd come into pitch after that. I had like a 70 ERA.
Right.
And whatever, like, and I'm, man, I got a lot of work ahead of me, but it,
you know, and it's a huge scoreboard too.
No doubt.
Thankfully. Yeah.
Yeah. Thankfully. Yeah. I think we were in Philly and I turned, it was my second outing was in Philly, which is kind of another full circle moment.
Yeah.
And I turned around and saw the scoreboard and I'm like, all right, James MacArthur's warming up. Mm-hmm. ERA 60 something. I'm like, hey man, believe in yourself. You're getting these opportunities. They believe in you. My wife believes in me, my family. So all I can do is go out there and leave it on the field.
You certainly did that. In September, you end the season, 12 straight scoreless appearances, 19 punch outs, no walks, a total of 5 base runners in more than 16 innings of work. Just me reading that. What does that make you think?
It's cool. It was a cool month. That's kind of what I was saying earlier. It was that month that just made everything feel like it was all worth it. Like, yeah. If I gave up after the debut and was down on myself, then I never would have got to experience that. And more than anything, more than just my stats and about me, like, as a team, that month was great. Like, we had a good month as a team. We beat some really good teams. We saw how talented we were. And we had a good time doing it, so it was exciting, and it really motivated me going into the offseason for this year.
I told you, Nick Lofton told me a story of when he broke into the bigs last year. He was expecting a lot of downtrodden guys in the clubhouse going through a rough season. Then he gets there, and everyone's fighting. You guys are beating good teams on a rather consistent basis. Were you surprised at the fight and the way that guys were focused on winning despite a record that no one was proud of?
Yeah, the last month, I mean, it's a kudos to, like, Salvi. Salvi's been around for so many years, and he's a great player, obviously, and he's a really good leader on the team. And he kept that positive energy of, you know, focusing on today. That's something that Q preached a lot at the end of the year, too.
How does Salvi do that?
He just, the way he is around the clubhouse, he keeps it light, he keeps it fun, but, like, man, he wants to win. And you can see that when the game starts, it's about winning. But he's also having a good time doing it. So he's a good role model for all of us, plays the game the right way, plays it hard, And that, like, example, more than, like, words he says, the example of how he goes about his stuff is what is so special about him. The way that he is in all the interviews and everything that people see is how he is. He's always been a good teammate, but when that when he crosses that line to go play, he's playing.
You see that in Bobby, too?
You see it in Bobby.
Yeah.
Bobby's special. You see it in all those guys. They're leaders without having to say things.
Right.
And people look up to that, and people want to be like them and want to be on the same team as them. So guys like that just kept it consistent. They came in every day, got there early, were getting their work in. It never really felt like the results weren't there. We weren't winning a lot earlier on. And yeah, when we came in the clubhouse after losses, things were quiet. But the next day when we got in there, it was like, today's today. Let's go win. Let's get better today. Kudos to the coaching staff, everybody, the attitudes that they brought in every single day. We knew it was going to be a challenge, but everybody kind of stepped up to that.
Have you allowed yourself to think what it's going to be like standing on that first baseline on an opening day?
A little bit, yeah. That's the goal. Coming in here, I want to help the team win. It's a very talented team. We've brought in some really talented players. So I knew it wasn't given spot. It was going to be a spot I'd have to earn on the team. And that's how I've been taking this spring training, is that this is, I tried to pick up where I left off in September of, like, I'm just going to come in and try to be the same guy. This isn't like training camp for me. This is like, make the team. Let's go. Let's get the ball rolling early and let's go win some games.
Now it's looking really good so far with a couple weeks left to go in camp. Final thing for you with those new faces, is there a piece of advice? Is there a lesson that you've been able to pick up from any of your teammates so far here in camp?
I've talked with Chris Stratton a lot. He's given me bits of advice here and there. Talked with Nick Anderson a lot. Schreiber a little bit. Same with Will Smith. I don't think that there's one thing that they've really said. I think it just goes back to the way they carry themselves.
Right.
The example they set, the teams they've been on, the culture they're bringing in. We're just super excited to be around them. I've been trying to watch as many live BPs and outings as I can from these guys, because when they get on the field, man, they compete, and it's fun to watch, and it makes you want to be like that. It gives you some motivation.
Well, man, I can't explain how fired up this city is to see you, to watch this squad. You'll get a taste of it on opening day, and if those wins start stacking up, man, you'll never see something like the Sea of Blue out at Kauffman Stadium. Gets me chills just thinking about it. Very generous with your time, James. I appreciate it, man.
No worries. Thanks for having me on.
It's James MacArthur. Could be, soon to be, Royals closer. One of the few options to be the final boss for Matt Quatrero here in 2024. And while he's closing it down, we all know who's opening up the season. Cole Reagan's on the hill 1 week from today, opening day at Kauffman Stadium. We'll talk with the young lefty, the opening day starter, the ace of the staff. Cole Reagan's is next.
Hi, I'm Bobby Witt Jr., ambassador for MLB's Play Ball.
Let's play ball!
It's an accessible, fun way for kids of all skill levels to learn the game, make new friends, and most importantly, get out and play ball. No prior experience needed. No bat or glove, no problem. We provide participants with their own bat and ball kit, so kids can come as they are. Don't miss Play Ball Weekend, June 5th through the 7th. Visit playball.org to register for an event near you today.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.